Welcome to Perspectives. I'm Joan Herman. When the venerable JCPenney's department store closed last July after a century in business in Astoria, its departure left a gaping hole, both literally and figuratively, downtown. The retail space along Commercial Street sat empty and lifeless for nearly a year, its front overhang and closed with wire to keep homeless individuals from sleeping underneath. Then last week, the building's new owner, Sean Fitzpatrick, and business partner, Chris Holan, held an open house to present plans for what will become the Astoria, Oregon Marketplace, envisioned as a collection of food carts, a taproom, retail space, and family entertainment down below. Here to speak about the building's reincarnation are Fitzpatrick and Holan. Fitzpatrick, a full-time Astoria resident since 2010, co-owns the Illichy and Franklin apartment buildings with his wife, Ann Carpenter. He also is president of the Astoria Planning Commission. Chris Holan, an 18-year Astoria resident, is the chef and co-owner with his wife, Jennifer Holan, of Baked Alaska, a restaurant on the 12th Street Pier downtown. This program was pre-recorded. Welcome to the studio, Sean and Chris.
Thanks for having us, Joan. It's an honor to be here.
Yeah, we appreciate the invitation.
Why don't we start, Sean, by you explaining what's going on in the building right now?
So right now we're finishing the demolition. We met with our designers today, went over a few minor details to clarify exact measurements and so on. Next up is removing the rest of the floor that's down, the tile and carpet that's down, and then we're going to start the construction phase.
What have you had to be demolishing exactly?
Not much, luckily. The space was pretty much open. We've taken down some of the false walls, the paneling used for shelving and so on that we're not going to need. We did open up a storage room in the back so that we can have access to that area and put the windows back in. But other than that, it's been pretty simple. Getting the floor up has been the major issue.
And I understand you found some old fir floors underneath the tile?
Yes.
What kind of shape are they in?
Depends on the area. But in the area where people are going to be walking, they're in very good shape.
And I never would have guessed from the appearance of the building, but it's actually almost 100 years old?
1924.
Wow. What kind of condition would you say it's in overall?
Generally good condition. The nice thing with this building is it's had one owner for virtually 90 years, and JCPenney had a vision, which was to sell product out of the store. So it hasn't been mucked up. There hasn't been an awful lot. A lot of the buildings that we have looked at had a lot of previous owners, a lot of different ideas, a lot of things were underfunded, nothing done correctly or quite the way we would have wanted. We would have had to take those things out and start fresh. The nice thing about the JCPenney building was most of what was there was in good shape. It allowed us to see what we could do with the building. It was very simple to move forward with it.
Well, how did you two get together, you, Sean and Chris, into deciding to go into this venture together?
Well, Chris and I met in 2003 when I was buying property here and having dinner at Baked Alaska. And he was young then, and so was I. And he was an up-and-comer. Had you started the schooner yet, or?
The Baked Alaska had opened in 2001, and we opened the schooner early 2004.
Okay. So they were working toward getting to the schooner there. A guy on his way up, I liked his food. I thought he was a good guy. After I moved here permanently, we started hanging out, sharing ideas. I mean, we've had a lot of similar ideas on different things.
It might have been, across a poker table occasionally.
Well, Chris, you were telling me before the interview began that you two started hashing out this idea over a game of poker not too long ago.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was one of those things, where, we're historians. We may have not been born here, may not be from here, but we're historians, and we care about this town tremendously. And to see a big empty space right in the heart of our downtown, to us was, we can't have that. What can we do about doing something in that space? And what's possible in there? So that's where the conversation began. You know, I had been visiting marketplaces in various places in Anaheim, California, and New York City, and Napa Valley, and Europe. And this concept has always been intriguing to me, where it's diverse. You know, you see a lot of menus out there that are trying to be everything to everyone. Well, in this sort of scenario that we're talking about doing here is we're able to have various different personalities and diverse offerings, each giving their offerings 100% of the attention. Does that make sense?
Somewhat. Can you be a little more concrete? How many eateries do you expect to be in the space on the main floor?
Sure. We're looking at about six at the end of the day, and four of which we are kind of penciled out as fully operational kitchens, full service kitchens that basically have all the equipment that one would need to produce pretty much anything that one would like to produce. And the other two being a little more quick service. You know, we'd like to find a party interested in doing like a frozen dessert, whether it be ice cream, gelato, something like that. But other than that, I mean, we're pretty open right at the moment.
Okay. What other kinds of businesses would you like in there, Sean?
It'd be good to have retail. We've had a lot of people talking about be nice to have a men's store. We do have a women's store here, thankfully, and some used clothing stores, but it'd be nice to have a men's store.
And that would go in the mezzanine space?
Ideally, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I also wanted to clarify, you said recently we started talking about it. We actually, when JCPenney announced that they were going to close, that's when we first started brainstorming about what could you do with that space. But it became...
Yeah, we've been having this conversation for a year, you know, and it took a minute for pennies to even be put on the market, listed for sale. But we always kind of dreamed about, like, hey, here's what we could do here. If given the opportunity to purchase this building, we should do this.
And what about in the basement?
Oh, one last thing I wanted to clarify.
Sure.
You've referred to them as food carts, and we want to make it clear that there will be four kitchens with hood and fan. And they will be permanent. They will not be movable. They will be full restaurant kitchens.
Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome. So the basement, we would really like to see some sort of activities down there. When we come down the stairs, you just kind of look and it just kind of gives this feel of this is where some sort of activity, ping pong, has been brought up several times. People have talked about bringing pool tables in, other different ideas. Chris has suggested, I'll let him talk about his.
We've talked about everything. You know, at the end of the day, we look at this, it's good to clarify a plan, all right, and to keep it somewhat simple. So on the main level, it's all about food and beverage. The upper mezzanine is going to be about retail. And the lower basement level will be about activities. So that's kind of our plan that we'd like to stick with. Now, we are accepting any and all bright ideas that people have. You know, in a perfect world, someone would come along with a genius idea for that basement. We work out a deal, and that sounds great. Do that. But we've talked about putting in full-on karaoke booths, you know, where you could have a group of 10 people have this private space and, you know, and have a sing-off and a birthday party or, you know, whatever it might be. We've talked about mini golf, you know, maybe at the top of the stairs is the tee for hole number one, you know, and it goes down and you end up at the other side. We've talked about an escape room. You know, you work as a team. It's a thematic room. You work as a group or as a team to figure out how to get out of the room by solving puzzles and things like that. We've talked about a lot of different ideas, and we're just hoping someone comes along that wants to do them.
Right.
Or do something.
Whatever they come up with.
Whatever they come up with.
Have you reached out to a number of prospective merchants?
A couple. I showed a woman around the other day and threw out all sorts of ideas, and I said, all right, Let me know what you come up with. But that's, you know, that's kind of where someone will come by with that genius idea.
So, and it's an interesting question because in January, when there was somebody else that had put an offer together before us, and when we heard that that had fallen apart, it was in January, and we wrote an offer and expected a response within a week, and then we could move forward with it. It didn't work out that way. But in January, we started connecting with people. And when you can't commit to it, you know, when we don't have the property tied up, we can't commit to prospective tenants. And it took over 4 months before we finally got commitment from JCPenney, and we closed a week later. So, you know, the hope was that we'd put it together in January, we'd close in March, and that would give us 2 months to line up contractors and prospective vendors and so on. Again, if you call someone too many times and they're saying, hey, you know, is this going somewhere or not? And after 4 months, who knows? So we've had to kind of start that process over again. A lot of people that we had, or a few people that we had talked to in January, had already found something by April, May.
Sure. When did the building close?
May 31st.
Oh, wow. Not that long ago.
Correct.
What has the response been from area merchants and people who live here or visit?
You know, we've heard a lot of, you yourself came to the little open house we threw the other night, and that was intended to really have a that discussion with other downtown merchants. What would they like to see? Address any potential concerns and things like that. But what really came out of it was a whole bunch of thank you cards.
Appreciation positive.
For, like, hey, thanks for taking this on. This is something that we would love to see. And how can we fit into this project? How can we be part of it? Whether it just be throwing an idea out, or having a micro space to cross market their current business, or whatever. And it's been very very well received, and people are thankful, I guess, for lack of a better term. We're doing this. I would like to point out that Sean and I are doing this project because it needs done, and because Astoria doesn't need a big vacancy right downtown. That's why we're doing it, and we want to involve the community in the process. You know, when it comes to what types of businesses, we're going to hear this question a lot. Well, how is this going to compete with other people? Well, I've been here long enough, and I've seen restaurants come and go. I've seen restaurants come and stay. There's a handful that are as long running as Baked Alaska. I mean, you know, for example, I mean, Silver Salmon Grill's been open. They opened 2 months before we did. Still seem to be going strong. Fulio's is been there. They just changed owners, but they're still they're going strong, and that's awesome to us. What we're not looking for in our new space is we're not looking for a sushi bar. There's one a block away. We're not looking for Italian food. There's Italian food in Astoria already. When we're reaching out, looking and talking to people, what do you have to offer that is different than something that already exists? We want to complement what exists in Astoria. We don't want to compete with. And that leads into the old adage, you know, a rising tide floats all boats. And sure, do I get a little butterfly in my stomach when I hear that a 150 seat restaurant's opening 4 blocks from me on the waterfront? Sure. Has it affected my current business in a negative way? Absolutely not. I am, and I think it's great. You know what I mean? It's great. They are doing a nice job down there. They refurbished a building that needed refurbished. They put a fresh face on it. I think it's cool that they're manufacturing chowder right here in Astoria to be distributed in other places. I think it's very cool. And I see nothing more than more and more people visiting Astoria. They're jealous that we get to live here, and they're only going to be here for a couple of days. But Astoria, I believe, is moving in a really, really great direction. It's sustainable. And it takes these kinds of projects to continue that momentum.
If you're just joining me, you are listening to a pre-recorded interview with apartment building owner Sean Fitzpatrick and restaurateur Chris Holen. They are speaking about plans to remodel the JCPenney building in downtown Astoria into a collection of small eateries, a tap room, and retail space. I'm Joan Herman on Perspectives on Coast Community Radio, 91.9 Astoria and 89.5 Tillamook. I did want to address a concern I know some Astorians have, that what we need downtown is not more businesses that appeal to tourists, but businesses that locals need, and that the restaurant business may become saturated. You've addressed that somewhat, Chris, but Sean, maybe you can speak to that as well.
Sure. What we're seeing in the real estate industry, especially in the retail industry, is that people are moving away from the bricks and mortar. There was no way that someone was going to come in and take a 16,000 square foot building and fill it with retail the way that JCPenney had. And I don't know that there are large corporations willing to step in and take that over. They'd rather go to Warrenton and build. And I don't think that there are any small family-owned businesses or locally owned businesses that could step in and take up that amount of space. So it wasn't going to be another JCPenney. As I've said, what I'd like to see downtown is a men's store, and I've been advocating for that since Stevens closed in 2010 through 2012. It'd be great if that was going to happen, but I just don't see it happening, at least not on that scale. So this allows someone the opportunity to put something in that might work for them with a whole heck of a lot less investment than would be required if they were taking their own building and taking responsibility for that.
Will the building be recognizable when you're done with it?
So, yes. From the front, the only real changes that we have planned, if you look at the building, Chris and I went over one night, the night before they put the cage up, which was interesting. We looked at the building for an hour, and the next day we drove by and where'd that cage come from? But nonetheless, so it says J period, C period, Penny, CO period. And Chris came up with A period, O period, Market, PL period. And we had also tried to come up with an anagram of JCPenney, but we couldn't come up with anything. Cindy Price was nice enough to come up with Enjoy, using some of the letters. It leaves a few left over. So we're going to put Enjoy inside as you walk in. But nonetheless, when someone's driving by from one day to the next, they're not going to recognize the difference because their eye is going to tell them it still says JCPenney. The back of the building is very nondescript and all the signage has been removed. So we're kind of working on that. And we have acknowledged that there is a Commercial Street demographic and a Duane Street demographic. And the face of the building on Commercial is perfect for the Commercial Street demographic. What the Duane Street demographic mm-hmm. looks like, we're just not sure yet.
What are the differences in the demographics on the two streets, front and back of the building?
I think that the Commercial Street demographic is more long-term locals and people who've come off the cruise ships. And the Duane Street demographic is people who are coming from other areas to experience Fort George, Reach Break, and Reveille Cider. And the food carts that have been put in there.
Yeah, and obviously Pilot House Spirits. I mean, they've really,
right.
A few years ago, that was kind of a, there was no reason to go back there. It's cool. Like, you can see even in a February, like, there's people walking up down that street. So we're going to play to that, I think, and from a marketing perspective. You can walk in from either side, and on the outside, it looks different. But when you get inside, it's this cooperative space. And, you know, and I wanted to add to the do we need more eateries conversation briefly. As a restaurateur who has designed my dining room to accommodate parties of 10 that just walk in randomly without a reservation, or 16 that it happens every single day at 1 PM when you're very, very busy. And many of them can't decide amongst themselves where they would like to be. They can't. It's like somebody had to make a decision and say, hey, this is where we're going for lunch. Okay. And that's good. But walking into a marketplace with all these diverse offerings, whether it be raining outside or sunny, people can walk in and choose from a variety of options what they'd like to eat and sit down at the same table and share it together.
What will the build? Oh, go ahead, Sean.
Well, I was going to say the other part of that is to answer an earlier question. People aren't buying things the way that they used to, at least not from bricks and mortar. And so the experience is food and fellowship and being around other people. And I think that's what we're, that's the niche that we're filling right there, especially in the inclement weather that we have here.
So you're imagining this will be a 12-month year-round business, that there will be the
We've talked that we may be closed for a week in January if by mutual agreement of all the people.
If everyone agrees to. Yeah.
Yeah. But we have told every prospective tenant that they are required to be open every single day from 11 till 9 or thereabouts. But it's 7 days a week. This is a real business.
We're not going to be, you know, if you look at food carts are quite seasonal in it. It's amazing the cool concepts that people come up with. I saw one recently that was, Asian or Hong Kong meets Mexican taco. Like,
I love Hong Kong taco.
Super cool, right? I mean, it's just a great idea. But if you look at from a perspective of food trucks, you know, if it's raining and blowing sideways outside, do you want to open your food truck that day? I wouldn't, you know. The marketplace is always open. We're out of the weather.
What will it look like inside?
We are trying to pay homage to all of it, the building itself, the JCPenney history, and the history of Astoria. So the natural fir floors will be visible wherever possible. We have some ideas for graphics. I collect antique postcards, and my favorite are my linen Astoria postcards from the 1920s through 1940s. We've talked about blowing some of those up and putting them on the wall. When you're in the space, it's easier to point out where they would perfectly fit in. I've got a bunch of JCPenney memorabilia that we will have a display of that. I think when you've really studied JCPenney, the history of JCPenney, the man had a real vision for what he wanted to do, and he had some ground rules. Originally, it was called the Golden Rule.
The store was?
The JCPenney chain started with a store called the Golden Rule.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And JCPenney expanded it from there. We'll have a little bit of history of that inside the building as well. But it will be open. It will feel like you are, we're calling it 13th and a half street. It'll be, you'll be able to stroll through. You will be able to see street to street as you come through the door. We will have it as open as possible. There will be no floor-to-ceiling walls. It's going to be fun, and we can't give away all of our ideas right now, partly because some of them might change.
it's an evolving project.
Can you reveal how much you are investing in the building?
We will be just under $1 million when we're done.
And does that include the purchase price of the building?
Or including the purchase price,
okay.
Yes.
All right. What is your timeline for opening?
There's the question.
It changes regularly depending on what we want to do, but we're thinking late fall.
Yeah, late fall, early winter.
Would you hope to have it filled completely then?
That's the goal. We don't. It's important. If you walk around a mall today, any mall in America, there's so many empty stores. It's a bummer, right? I mean, a lot of the big ones that malls were built for are, they're winding down. They're going away. And we want, when someone walks into the marketplace the first time, they see bustling, they see activity. There's people. And there is no vacant spaces. Honestly, for the moment, our goal is to finish the main level completely. We want, when you walk in for the first time, for you to feel like it's always been there. And we'll come back to, if we need to, we'll come back to the mezzanine, we'll come back to the basement at a later time. But for the moment, when you walk in, it's going to be finished. And it's going to be shiny, and it's going to be funky, and it's going to have cool food offerings. And
we're trying to walk the line between something feeling very familiar and something you've never seen before.
It's going to be a trip. I mean, when you look at the walls, you're going to notice all the details that were 1924 JCPenney's. There's some Art Deco kind of stylings and trim work that you can't even see. They were painted white at one time, and they just kind of vanish. We want to bring all that back. You want to be able to see that historic shell of what was JCPenney's. But just inside of that, you got this funky industrial tap space bar. You have a fusion. I don't want to give away vendors, but a fusion cuisine over here, and you have some familiar local type fish maybe over in this place, and you got these options, and it's just it's bustling, and you get what you want and sit down together and enjoy your meal. It's a place to hang out when it's raining outside. You know, it often it's a lot of the winter it's pouring right here in Astoria, and
people can come on in.
They can come on in, you know.
You're both entrepreneurs, which I think requires somewhat of a risk-taking personality. Does this new venture make you nervous at all?
Well, sure. Yeah. Sure. There's no guarantees, right? There's no guarantees that I don't get hit by a beer truck tomorrow crossing in front of Fort George, you know? So you never know. You really never know. We feel really pretty good about it.
Yeah,
we're confident in this project, and we honestly feel this is going to add something very cool to Astoria. Another reason for people to come and visit. And yeah, I know we are. So listen, we are overrun with visitors right now, but it's intriguing. I mean, it's amazing and that we have in Astoria as a whole still maintained our integrity. Mm-hmm. We haven't sold out and become something we're not. We still are Astoria. We're just canning beer instead of fish.
It's a good line.
So I like that too. I'm stunned. So I was going to say when JCPenney gave notice that they were going to close the store, which really didn't sit well with me because it was a highly profitable location. There was no logical reason to close that store. I had a few people approach me saying, "What are you going to do with the store? You know, you have to buy this and do something." And I can't take it on. I had an idea for what I thought it could be, but I can't take that on myself. I am a property investor. I am not a restaurant operator. So when Chris approached me saying, "Hey, I've got this idea for what we could do," I said, "Yeah, I got the same vision, but I can't do it by myself." And Ann said, "You're not taking this on."
Right.
When I went to her and said, "Hey, Chris and I have been talking about this. We've been through the building. We've got some great ideas." And he can fill in what I can't do. Ann's response was, "I think you better scoop it up." So it's I haven't felt overwhelmed by it.
Not at all. Not at all. We don't feel a deadline looming. We want to do it right. We want it to be cool. We want it to add, not compromise what's already here. As I said before at the beginning of the show, like, we're doing this because it needs done.
Yeah.
We're doing this to add to help and maintain Astoria. And that's why we're doing this project.
Well, we are going to have to leave it there. I want to thank my guests, Sean Fitzpatrick and Chris Holen, for coming into the studio to speak about plans to renovate the empty JCPenney building into the Astoria Oregon Marketplace downtown. Thank you, Sean and Chris.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for having us, Joan.
Sean Fitzpatrick is co-owner of the Ilhi and Franklin apartment buildings in Astoria. Chris Holen is the chef and co-owner of Baked Alaska in Astoria. The two men are renovating the former Penny's department store building into a collection of small eateries, retail space, and family entertainment space with the goal of opening later this fall. This is Perspectives, and I'm your host, Joan Herman. The show is brought to you in part by a grant from the Clatsop County Cultural Coalition. Perspectives was engineered today by Brian Bovenizer. The show can be heard on the stations of Coast Community Radio, 91.9 Astoria and 89.5 Tillamook. You also can find show podcasts on the station's website. If you would like to contact me, send me an email to perspectives@coastradio.org. Thanks for listening.